Welcome to a We Talk Music special. We've got Barney from Napalm Death. How are you doing? You're obviously not doing great, as you seem to have done something to your arm.
Well, basically, for the benefit of the audio, I broke my hand in a couple of places and damaged the ligaments. I was running on in St. Paul, Minnesota, to get some food, and black ice on the street I didn't see, and I just flipped, and this is the result. But, you know, at least it's my right hand, and I can still use my left hand to sing, so I can't run around as much as I want to on stage, because I've got to be really careful not to damage it even more, but at least I can still do it, you know, so it could be worse.
You know? You got to sing with your left hand. What hand do you kick ass with, then?
I don't know, actually. I guess I'm ambidextrous in that respect. I don't know.
That's great. So how is the tour going?
Yeah, it's going well. It was going well up until this happened, and it's still going well now, you know. So I think the lineup of bands is great, and especially with Voivod, you know, pioneering band.
Absolutely.
And so couldn't ask for better. Everybody's talking about this tour. The turnouts have been even better than we expected, while other tours are kind of maybe struggling a little bit. So what more could you ask for, you know?
Well, is that one of the things that, because I know that there's like five bands plus some of the dates have the locals. Yeah. So is that one of those cases where when you're putting the package together, it's that thought to try to put as many bands together as possible?
Well, you want to try and get primarily you want to get a bill that's diverse, because let's be honest, even the most avid fan of any genre doesn't want to see five bands sounding exactly the same. What's the point of that? It's like you would go nuts, you know. You kind of leave before the headline band even come on in some cases. So just make it diverse, bands that people actually want to see, and roll along.
How long is your set then? Because does that get impacted because of the volume?
Yeah. Well, we do 1 hour, because after four bands before us, you don't want to play any more than that. It's like you're starting to drag then, you know. So
is this a co-headlining tour with Voivod?
Yeah, it's co-headlining. Yeah, it's co-headlining.
So they do an hour?
Well, they do a little bit less. Voivod do 45 to 50, and we do an hour. So it's not that much.
So how much of your set is from the new album?
Five or six songs, yeah.
And how's the response been for those?
Great. Couldn't ask for better. I mean, maybe you've seen, like, the reviews out there. It's great. Couldn't ask for any better, you know. Gigs have been great, so, yeah, quite a happy time, you know.
What's it like, then, coming across? Like, how many tours on average do you do? Like, how many dates, I guess, per year do you typically do?
I would probably say we tour for half the year, so we do a good 150 to 170 dates a year, usually.
What do you typically do when you're on the road?
Besides break your arm.
Yeah, I mean, the thing, well, this is, I guess a semi-serious point to that, because when you're like this, when you've only got one good hand, it takes three times longer to do anything. So getting up today, taking a shower, to get to this point where you're interviewing me would ordinarily take 2 hours. It's taken me 4 or 5 hours to get my shit together, you know, so it takes a lot longer. But I take books with me on the road. I'm an info junkie, so I've always got books and stuff. And try and keep yourself stimulated while you're waiting to play, you know. And then when you play, you're ready to go, hopefully.
What are your favourite authors and books, then?
I don't actually stick to any particular authors. One of my main interests is actually non-fiction. I like factual books. Yeah, I mean, I've got, one of my main interests is Soviet history. So I've got books and books and books on all things Soviet related. Everything from lists of the KGB from 1940 something to 1989. To the psychology of North Korea and why that system perpetuates itself and hasn't yet collapsed, you know. So I've got all that stuff.
Does it become part of your music, your lyrics?
No, not at all. It's purely historical interest. Yeah. I don't write. The only historical connections with Napalm Death is when it has a human maybe a humanitarian element to it, and it's currently happening. You know, that's where there would be a connection. But mainly the stuff that I have is, it's just historical interest, you know.
Well, what's the right age to introduce your kids to napalm death?
I don't think that. I think that, you know, I'm not one for shielding kids. Yeah. You know, I'm not one of these people that thinks kids should be protected from the reality of the world. You know, of course there are certain things that aren't appropriate, you know, at points. But generally speaking, I don't think you should put kids under a blanket of niceness. They need to know that the world is not always a fucking nice place, you know. I don't have a problem with that at all, you know. So, yeah, you know, I think music should be for everybody. You know, I don't think there should be a age limit on it. Would I give Napalm Death to an 8 or 9 year old? Sure thing, you know.
All right, how old's your son again?
He's 6. He's
all right.
Get him into it.
That's right.
Let's give him time. Let's go.
Because, you know, look at it this way. What would you want your kid to be? Would you want him to be like a kid that grows up to somebody that understands humanity and understands that people are different in this world and everybody has the right to dignity? Of course you would.
Mm-hmm.
So if Napalm's kind of thing is that, then why wouldn't you want to introduce him to it? Yeah, sure enough, the Sonics are a bit harsh, you know, but it's not, you know,
yeah,
it's nothing that's going to give him nightmares, I don't think.
Well, I think one of the things that I found in interviewing a lot of other people is that there is a lot of intelligence, and there's a lot of, like, the desire for learning that's not just, you know, like, oh, I don't care about the world. Like, there is a great interest in the understanding of the world and other systems out there that I found so far, especially in, like, the heavy metal genre.
Well, yeah, I mean, it depends where they're coming in from, really, because they could be coming in from a historical, just a purely historical angle. But of course, Napalm's not, because Napalm's whole remit for me is to try and make a change. Of course, we're not going to spin the world off its axis, but anything that moves with this kind of energy and has that kind of ethos to it is a vehicle for change, even if it's small, you know. So, you know, obviously, we have to respond to what's happening out there. Because if you just write a generic, oh, fuck the system, blah, 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 you're not really, your intended result is to make a change. You're not going to do it if you just do something that's generic. Because people are going to be like, yeah, well, that's fair enough, but what are you referring to? What specifically are you referring to? You know?
Well, and understanding is so important. You can't just say it without understanding,
sure.
Because then when they do ask you about it,
yeah,
then
because you're
just full of shit.
Well, yeah, and you have to understand what you're dealing with. You know, I mean, for want of a better phrase, it's like know your enemy kind of thing, you know?
Yeah, oh, absolutely,
yeah,
100%.
Yeah.
You got anything else?
Yeah, well, how many times have you been across Canada before?
Oh, I mean, we came here first, I think, in 91. We did a tour that nobody else was doing at the time. We did, we did Toronto, Montreal, but we went into French Canada, parts where nobody spoke English. At that time, nobody spoke English in some places, and it was fucking incredible to experience that, you know. It was just something else, you know. It was a wonderful experience, you know. So.
Yeah, so, I mean, based on these experiences, what are a couple of your favorite experiences then, other than that, say, across your career?
I would say going to South Africa for the first time. Because I was really reluctant to go because it was very close to after apartheid. And I didn't want to go anywhere that was associated with the apartheid regime. Of course not. Even though apartheid had fallen apart, I didn't want to go anywhere that was associated with that regime. It was despicable, you know. So going down there with the ANC actually helped the promoter to take us down there. So that was a wonderful experience, you know. Going to Japan is our big highlight. It's my favourite place to play. I love that place. I absolutely love it, you know. I'd like to live there one day. It's
really?
Like, yeah. So, you know. So, yeah, there's been many, many different highlights.
Awesome.
How about having somebody on the road who
helps let off steam? Somebody who's funny, somebody who pulls some sort of pranks, anything like that ever happen?
Well, I mean, it depends who you get in other bands or on your, or if you've got crew with you, like one person. It all depends on the characters, you know. So, for example, we got the Voivod guys right now. You know, they're seasoned band, more so than we are, you know, right, arguably. Right. So they know how to deal with touring. And yeah, of course, you need humour. You have to laugh. You know, you have to. It has to get ludicrous at points, you know.
That's what keeps it going, right?
Yeah.
I mean, isn't that really almost the key to music nowadays, where it's almost impossible to know where to market your music and where it's going to be played? Just keep moving forward,
yeah,
keep working.
But see, we don't take that approach. We take a blanket approach, because actually we find that the minute we start thinking of it as a career, it starts to have less impact, you know. We don't do things to seek commercial advantage. Napalm doesn't. Yeah, I mean, you could argue that by putting records out, you're doing that. But what I mean is, we don't jump on board with things that, you know, don't suit our ethos, you know. And so we effectively go out there purely as an art form, with the best songs that we can possibly write, with the ethos that we've got, the things that we're dealing with lyrically at that particular time, and we put it out there. And if it sticks, it sticks. If it doesn't, it doesn't. We don't go, oh, well, we should only play there because we know that's a big concentration of whatever, or only there. No, we don't do that. We'll hit as many places as we can, you know.
So then, how does that work? Like, is it the merch that brings in most of the
when you're on tour, you make more from your t-shirts,
yeah,
you know, and stuff. But if you look at our stuff, it's always reasonably priced, you know, so
yeah,
more so than most bands, you know.
Well, that was even with this show. Like, I was just looking at the cost of the show, and I mean, it's like just a little over $30 a ticket.
Yeah.
So I mean that's great value,
yeah,
for the volume
the of
bands
that you're getting, and international,
you know,
bands,
yeah,
as well.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
So, yeah, we always do our best, you know. What can I say? When a tour is organised on our behalf, we look at the ticket price and we say, and there's been occasion where we said, that's too much. Let's mm-hmm. see how we can bring it down. You know.
Yeah, I mean, I respect that. I think that's great because when I was younger, I used to be able to go to concerts on a regular basis just because, I mean, you were talking about $50 a ticket.
Yeah, sure, sure.
But now, I mean, a regular concert is $120 or more.
Yeah, it's...
And so, I mean, and I think that's, again, like, if you're trying to include a new fan base in, I mean, I was a kid back then, but as a kid now, how do you afford the $200 for a ticket?
Well, this
right?
is it. And you know what? A lot of times it doesn't need to be $200 a
yeah.
ticket. That's the point, you know. So whoever's skimming off the top sometimes is skimming big time, you know, because that's a lot. You know, when you talk about $200 a gig, you probably talk about arena gigs, maybe.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, $200 doesn't need to be $200 tickets. And, you know, there's one thing that Napalm will not do, and that's this VIP stuff.
Mm,
you know, where
yeah.
you bring some kids in earlier in the day, and they have a 10-minute meeting with a band, and you get charged like 50, 60, 70. No way will I
yeah.
do that. I think that's a fucking rip-off, you know what I mean? And when kids want to speak to us, they can come up and see us at the gig. They want stuff signed, bring it to us and we'll do it.
Yeah.
They want to talk to us for a couple of minutes, come talk to us. You don't have to pay for that privilege.
Yeah, because, I mean...
It's not a privilege.
They're your lifeline, right?
Exactly.
Well, what I don't think a lot of these bands get is that when you're charging $200 a ticket, or when you're ripping people off like
yeah.
that, then they feel it's okay to steal your music. Then they feel it's okay.
Sure.
Like all of a sudden, they feel like they have the rights to do things that they normally wouldn't do
sure.
because they're getting even.
Sure.
You know?
So, yeah, well, maybe, you know.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think that we've taken enough of your time, but
no,
we certainly
good.
Thank you so much
yeah, yeah.
for...
All right, guys.
That was awesome.
Awesome.
I appreciate it.
A stampede to rush forward, yet I'm in retreat. For horizon greedily sucks in the keen. Descend down the scale on dripping stumps of wish to shear. Come the predatory to luckless spread eagled I am. See me. Predatory to luckless race to the ground. Oh.